from Candy Cane Lane in Calgary, Alberta.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, there are some things that you should know about cycling in 2026. We have got some inside info and we're going to share it with you ahead of time.
Are we allowed to?
No.
No.
But what's the worst that can happen, Dan?
Well, we might get in trouble, Si. Right, just don't tell anybody else, all right? Stays between us lot. This year in the world of cycling, we learned that Tadej Pogačar has cemented his claim to being the greatest male cyclist of all time.
So nervous is the current great Eddie Merckx that he even said that he sees something of himself in Pogačar, but that he also has a long way to go.
Meanwhile, fellow Belgian Roger de Vlaeminck said Tadej Pogačar couldn't lace Eddie's shoes.
Is Pogačar not good at tying shoes up?
I think he was implying he's not worthy to tie.
Oh, I see. Up. Right, okay. That makes more sense. I mean, I guess Pogačar probably uses like boa ones.
Yeah, he's not done many laces.
Nah. Regardless of de Vlaeminck's opinion, Pogačar was on another level this year, winning basically everything except Sanremo and Paris-Roubaix.
Meanwhile, Pauline Ferrand-Prévot did what Pogačar couldn't, winning both Paris-Roubaix and the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift in the space of just 4 months.
Fair play to her. Mm. Now, we also learned that this was the year of the pointless lawsuit, with Strava suing Garmin, for a little bit anyway, no one knows why, and then SRAM suing the UCI for unintentionally banning 10-tooth sprockets.
SRAM did win, by the way, didn't they? Thereby stopping the UCI from trialling something intended to help improve rider safety.
Go SRAM.
Go SRAM. We also learned that China entered the World Tour with the X-Lab bikes, but it feels like group sets are the next frontier to crack.
Wow. Are they, Dan? Yes. We have been giving some thought to what the biggest stories in cycling are going to be in 2026. And is that one of them?
It might be. We'll get on to that. But let's start with those emerging markets, shall we? There are loads of good products coming out of China. And actually, that's been the case for many, many years. But what's increasing now are the amount of Chinese brands that are selling them rather than simply manufacturing them for other companies.
Yeah, and it is becoming increasingly easy and less risky to buy them too. However, I don't think, Dan, that 2026 is the year that Chinese group sets make it onto mainstream bikes. Mm. So I think at lower price points, Shimano Qs is so good and also so appealing that I'm not sure there's enough of a draw from an unknown or lesser known group set, even if it does promise more gears and potentially even wireless shifting.
You know what you're getting with Shimano, really, don't you?
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, it's about what's going to sell bikes. And I don't think enough people are going to be familiar enough with non-Shimano, and I guess non-SRAM options, to actually desire them, and want them.
We could say non-Campagnolo there as well.
We could have that in the mix, I guess.
But yeah. Not that many people buy group sets to put on frames either.
True, yeah.
If that is you and you're furiously typing in the comments section, I'm sorry, but you are in a minority these days.
Elsewhere then, in terms of tech, big tyres, they're not going anywhere, it seems, is it? But are we reaching a limit in terms of the size of those tyres? Have we actually reached the limit already?
Well, I think we might have from a racing perspective. Right?
So, road racing.
Yeah. I mean, cyclocross we have, because there's a rule, isn't there, to stop you. But no.
Pirelli should sue the UCI.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know why the UCI implemented their maximum tyre width rule for cyclocross?
I don't remember, but I think I will when you tell me.
Sven Nys used to turn up to races with 8 pairs of wheels for each tyre size and each tyre tread. So basically,
cut down on how much equipment.
Well, yeah. So it was like the top riders would turn up with probably 50 pairs of tubular wheels, mostly showboating. But yeah, they had their 30s, they had the 32s, and they had the 34s, and they had file tread, intermediates, and muds. Mm. And
this is what I had at the Gravel Worlds.
You had 50 pairs of wheels.
Basically, yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Well, they'll be banning that soon, won't they? Did you have 2 pairs?
I had a pair.
A pair of wheels, right.
Alex set them up for me, so they're the best.
Oh, yeah. Big dog. Okay. Yeah.
We've gone off subject here.
We have, yeah. I don't know where we got to. No, so what I mean is, in road racing, yes, tyres are maxed out now because equipment would allow them to use bigger, right? Mm. So, speaking from Pirelli, who we get to use, and Alpecin de Koenig get to use as well. They make a 32 mil wide, super fast P0 RC, but the teams aren't choosing to use them. And you'd think that they would have tested them out, wouldn't they?
Well, you would imagine so.
Exactly.
Point.
That's what I mean.
I guess our conclusion then is that because they're not using them, even though they have used them and have access to them, they're not as fast as the 28s they're choosing.
Well, this is it, right? Yeah, I think that if the advantages were there, then pros would already be using them.
Yeah. I think I'm right in saying that there are quite a few people in the industry who also feel that on the road, 28 mils is still the fastest.
This is true, yeah. On gravel, though, completely different matter. In the US, anyway, Euro gravelers, pretty happy with 45 mil tyres, by and large. US gravel, 50 millimetres and above, which is leading to a bit of a split in gravel bikes, aren't there? There are some amazing racy options, but with tyre clearances less than 50 mil. So some people think that that's not enough. Personally, I feel that if you don't need super wide tyres, then it's kind of more fun on narrower tyres.
Are you sure you're not just thinking about those tyres that you're using on your cyclocross bike recently?
Well, yes, I am. As I said in that video, I think agility in a bike is massively underrated at the minute. But it does all depend on where you ride. I mean, I think Alex turned one corner in 40 miles in Unbound this year.
Yeah.
So you probably don't really need agility, do you?
You went over one ridge as well, didn't you?
One ridge, so
that didn't
one
turn
crash.
Out very well.
Yeah.
Sticking with gravel then, I think 2026 is the year where we truly get to see gravel domestiques.
Gromestiques.
Oh, you coined that right here, right now.
You heard it here first, yeah.
So basically, people racing as a team with one leader and then other riders whose sole role it is to help them win while sacrificing their own chances of a big result.
Yeah, now there was a bit of that already this year, wasn't there? The Santa Cruz Hinsquid team.
What?
The Hinsquid. Is there no vowels at all in their name.
Oh, should that not be Hit Squad then?
Well,
that
yeah,
supposed to
I
be?
Mean, potentially, but there's no vowels.
Mm. I mean, that's not 2026, that's more like 2016.
Yeah.
Fistusfuck.
Yeah, Mark Cavendish.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Oh, it shouldn't be funny, but it is. Yeah. Honestly, what are people thinking? They won't even be there in 2026.
Well, they're not.
No, the team has run its course after 5 years.
Oh, what a shame. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're shutting their doors, yeah. Anyway, Keegan Svensson and Tobin Autumnblad, who have been racing together on that team for a while as a duo, with Autumnblad basically doing domestique duties for Svensson. But you would imagine, don't you, if you get bigger teams, more domestiques?
Yeah, well, you know what I say, Si?
What's that?
Watch out, Spirit of Gravel. Your days are numbered, if we're right.
Ah, Spirit of Gravel. How quaint. Mm. So 2021 or something. Anyway.
Around that era.
Probably. Right, changing the subject a little bit. One of the things that I have found most interesting in recent years, and particularly this year for some reason, is performance.
Other people's performance, presumably, Si, rather than your own.
Well, clearly, yes. Yeah. Well, no, actually, to be fair, I mean, call me a loser, but I always look at these things, thanks. I always look at these things, performance things, and wonder how it would impact me. Anyway, cycling has changed a lot in the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
With extreme high-carb fueling strategies, heavy strength training making its way into the World Tour, and now loads and loads of talk about durability. But I really enjoyed seeing how it's all changed, okay? And do you know what is going to be big in 26?
Me, through AI. No, go on.
That was 2025. Zone 3.
Zone 3?
Mm.
Oh. Is this a sneak preview of what Connor's been working on? It's coming up this weekend on the channel, Si?
Well, it is a little bit, yeah.
I thought it was. All right, we won't give too much of the game away, though, will we? In Connor's video.
Not too upcoming. Much, but a little bit.
But suffice to say, the axis has turned against Zone 2 a little bit. And while lots of people have been saying that Zone 3 is just junk miles, effectively, recent research has shown it can be incredibly effective at moving the dial in a shorter period of time.
You and I did a lot of that, didn't we, back in the day?
We did indeed. Yeah. And I'd like to say it got us really fit, but
not fit enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that might not be down to Zone 3's fault.
No,
it might be that that was actually as good as it got. Yeah. But anyway, can I tell you one final thing that everyone needs to know about 26? 32ers.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it as 29ers, does it?
No. 32ers. I mean, to be fair, I don't think 29er had much of a ring to it.
Just got used to it.
When it launched, yeah, basically.
Mm. Anyway, mountain bikers have been causing trouble yet again.
Yeah.
And having only just recovered from the last change in wheel size, from 26 to 29, then back to 27.5, or going back to 29, they now want you to buy 32.
32 is still better than 27.5, is it? Well, as in name.
Oh, yeah, 27.5ers.
Yeah, they needed to lose some vowels out of that, didn't they? Anyway, currently, we should say no major bike manufacturers have released 32-inch wheel bikes yet. But Maxxis have released 32-inch tyres, and apparently that is the tricky and expensive bit.
Is it?
I was reading, yeah. So clearly it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, it's going to take off, isn't it? You know it will, because it will make mountain biking easier.
Yes.
The question is, will it then come over to gravel and road?
Well, I've been giving this some thought, Dan.
I thought you might have
yeah,
been.
Yeah, I think people, and by what I mean by saying people is brands, will try it, but I don't think it will catch on.
How come?
Well, I think having the same size wheels across road and gravel is just too good, right? It's one of the big attractions of gravel bikes at the moment, their versatility. And I think 32 on the road will feel horrendous, whereas a gravel bike with fat road tyres on a road feels amazing, right? And I just think that road bikes aren't going to go there because it's not going to be more aerodynamically faster. So I just feel like if you make bigger wheels for gravel bikes, they'll just be super niche. Mm. So they will exist, but, you know.
Yeah, but not for many people.
Not for many
would
people.
Be bloody good for taller riders, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100% it would, yeah.
Yeah, imagine Connor. They'd actually fit him almost.
They would, yeah.
He's big enough.
Speaking of Connor,
again,
as we are, yes, he is currently busy with training for the Atlas Mountain Race and sorting all of his equipment out.
He's got quite a few dilemmas, Si.
He has,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
Gravel or mountain bike, flat bars or drop bars, mountain bike tyres or gravel tyres, this bag, that bag, or all the bags.
Yeah, he's going to take a lot of gubbins,
isn't he?
Existential crisis coming to GCN Tech very soon. However, what I was thinking of, though, is not Connor's existential crisis about how much stuff he can take. His Atlas race kicks off GCN's year, doesn't it, really, with a huge challenge. So the question is, what is next?
Well, that is a good question, Si. So in 2025, went to Bolivia, rode the Pamir Highway, unbound. The Gravel World Championships.
I didn't do that.
No, I did that. The length of the Alps, Taiwan, Finland.
I did that.
Yeah. Denmark. List goes on and on and on. We did a lot this year, didn't we?
We did, yeah. And we've got some exciting plans for next year as well. You mark our words. A lot still to be finalised, but we thought we would also ask you lot at home as well. What should we ride and where should we ride in 2026?
Yeah, we're going to ask you at home. I, for one, am not going to guarantee I'll be doing what you suggest I do in the comments, but I'll still be very interested to read them. And you never know, one or two of them might take my fancy.
How many people are going to write unbound in there for when it comes to Dan doing something?
I'm going to write N-O exclamation mark, copy and paste it, and just underneath all of those comments.
I can't see you doing unbound, if I'm honest.
Either.
I mean, if you did do unbound, I'm sure you do a very good job of it. But
I do a very long job of it.
Yeah. Mm. Trouble is, there's not enough corners there for you to show your amazing technical skills.
No, there is that, yeah. It's not going to shine a light on my my strength as a cyclist, is it?
No, probably not.
Alex was unbelievably fit when he did it, and it took him, what, 9 hours?
Yeah.
I'd be out there forever.
Yeah. Well, like Connor was. What did he say, 17 hours? That's a bit too long to be a fun day, isn't it, really? Yeah. Anyway, we very much look forward to hearing your thoughts on 2026. Also, have you got any thoughts about what's going to be big in 26 that we've missed out? Get involved in the comments section.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
It is at this point in the show that we have to admit to you something you may already have guessed. This is a pre-recorded show. I mean, they all are, but this one's extra pre-recorded, ahead of the Christmas break. Si and I are having what we think is a well-deserved break from work.
What are you currently doing now?
When does this come out?
Tuesday, obviously.
Oh, I know, but what's the date?
29th?
Yeah, I'm probably still recovering. So there are no cycling shorts because there hasn't been any news as we record this that we haven't already mentioned in the previous week's show. So we're going to skip straight on to hack/bodge of the week.
Yeah.
We have got some of those.
Woo!
The first one comes in from Jadok or Yodok, mudguard hack. Took off the rear mudguard bridge on my trek over summer to save maybe 0.01 watts for crits and couldn't find the bolts to mount it to my bike when I went to put some fresh mudguards on this winter. Two zip ties attached to the base of my seat post seem to have done the job.
I mean, to be fair, it does seem to have done the job. It's not pretty. Hopefully it's not permanent, but it does seem to have worked. You know, we've got one of our crew here, Stefan, tried to fit panniers on his Trek checkpoint, but they didn't have the right fittings. They weren't the right panniers, so he used zip ties, and they broke on average 3 times per commute.
No.
Yeah. Honestly, he was there. Yeah, he was there fixing it with zip ties about 3 times on the way.
How long for?
I still don't think it's...
No.
Yeah. Honestly, we'll check with Stefan, but I'm pretty sure that's the ultimate podge. It wouldn't surprise me, though, because Stefan, once on his shoot, he brought his Orbea e-bike, and when I pointed out to him that his back wheel was not in properly, he went, oh, thanks for that. And then when I saw him again on it a month later, it still wasn't in properly.
Well, so, I think that's Stefan. Fine. I also think that Stefan is a lovely bloke. I would never want to criticise. You go ahead, Si. Honestly, Stefan is the person that edits this video, so please don't do anything nasty to me, but feel free to fill your boot with Si.
Now, at this stage of the race, Si is doing surprisingly well, but I think my words of encouragement and telling him he was doing a really good job may have been a little premature.
Bodge for that one then, or hack?
If it's temporary, then it's a hack, right? I think you can get some new bolts.
Yeah.
Should we say? So you've got it on condition that you sort it out. Done. Right, next up, Cram Renrut. Chain gate hinge. Gate hinge made up from a bike chain and many other adaptations. So that's quite neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I guess that would work, wouldn't it? If you're listening to this, it's literally a section of bike chain that's been screwed into a fence and a gate to act as a hinge. Well, that's ingenious.
Must have a bit more free movement than a conventional hinge, you'd have thought, wouldn't you?
Maybe that's what they're after.
Yeah, maybe.
So I like that. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, I'd never have thought to do that. Nope. Hack from me as well, then. Primoz Z put a homemade rocker plate with wheels.
Oh, I've not had these for ages.
Made my own rocker plate a couple of years ago, according to your DIY video. We've done one on rocker plate.
I think we must have done.
Oh, maybe, okay. Now I upgraded it with wheels on a back for easy storage. Now the rocking plate can be stored upright and it doesn't fall over anymore so easily. Plus you can lift it easily and it's very manoeuvrable as well.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, fair play to you. Oh, that looks like quite a neat job there, doesn't it?
It does look like a neat job, yeah.
Very cool.
Another hack from both of us.
I think that is a hack, yes. And then we've got this one from Nestor. Spotted in Tenerife. This is a town bike. If we zoom in at the back there, there is an intriguing looking contraption made out of a set of drop handlebars with bar ends attached that are attached to the seat post of the bike via a handlebar stem, a steerer tube, and another handlebar stem.
Yeah, there's a lot of gubbins going on there, isn't there?
Lot of gubbins. You know what this is, Dan?
It looks like a rack of some sort.
Think it's a surfboard rack.
Do you?
Yes, because I think you can surf in Tenerife.
I'd have thought so. I mean, there's quite a lot of sea around it, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. You can definitely get wet with a board. I think this is a surfboard rack, which is very cool, actually, isn't it?
That would make sense with the amount of sort of tape wrapped around the outer stem there, which is presumably where the surfboard rests against.
Yeah, but you know what? That's actually a really neat solution for it. I think Connor was talking about going bikepacking with a surfboard this year, and he was talking about buying some elaborate contraption for £1 million. But actually, two old stems, a bit of steerer tube and some drop handlebars, then you're away.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? Quite a slightly odd set of drop handlebars, we should add.
Well, they've got a very long, extended end section to them, haven't they? Which I presume is a good thing for the surfboard.
Yes, I just have never seen drop handlebars like that before.
No.
Because if that was actually on a bike, that would be quite the stab risk, wouldn't it?
Well, it almost looks like they're so long, it's all, you could... Well, who did have those bars that were almost designed that you could rest your lower arm on?
Yeah, and they were, like, slightly sculpted.
Yeah, anyway.
Can't remember, mate.
Well, whoever it was, you can now use them for your surfboard storage on a bike.
There you go.
Right, well, we're going to finish with a hack for 2025, then, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Happy days.
Oh, that is cool, isn't it?
We will be back first thing in the new year on the first Tuesday in a show that won't be quite as pre-recorded. It'll be done the day before the show comes out. So please feel free to upload your own hacks and bodges, or those that you see out and about, like in Tenerife here, to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
We love your hacks and bodges. Keep them coming.
Now, we can't announce the winner of last week's caption competition because that show hasn't even come out yet as we record this, but if you would still like to get involved in that, go to last week's show and leave your caption there. That's the only place we'll be taking the winner from, isn't it?
Indeed.
But we also can't give any comments of the week from the last week's worth of videos for obvious reasons, so this is the time where we just say a massive thank you to all of you who get involved in GCN full stop. I think on the show in particular, it makes a massive difference, doesn't it? Because there's so many parts that the viewers can get involved in. And we do love going through all the comments and reading some of the best ones out each week.
That's right, yeah. We get plenty that are moving, aren't they? Like genuinely emotional, incredible stories. And also, we laugh a lot because a lot of you are very, very funny. Yeah. And thank you for that as well. Because, genuinely, we'll be sat around and someone will start laughing and they'll basically read out a comment.
So. Well, in the office, that's normally because they found a very insulting comment towards one of us that they're
chuckling at. We don't like those comments.
Yeah.
But no, it's absolutely right. I mean, I think we've said this many times now, but if it wasn't for you lot, then our job would not
Be good.
I mean, it wouldn't exist, for a start. But also, like, it's the communication with you guys that really make it.
Exactly.
So thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. Thanks to all of you, whether you're a member of GCN on YouTube, whether you just watch the videos, whether you like them, whether you share them, whether you leave a comment, they're all very much appreciated. Thanks again. What we can do is let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, because
we are organised.
Yeah,
we've saved some bangers for the end of the year.
We have indeed.
Or beginning of next year, I suppose we should say.
Exactly. So, on Thursday, which is New Year's Day, we are going to show you how alcohol affects your cycling performance. So we did a bit of an experiment, didn't we?
We did. It was an experiment that was designed to showcase Daniel Lloyd's prowess, safely say. It was filmed at our Christmas party. Well, before our Christmas party, during our Christmas party, and then the morning after the night before. Mm. I'd like to say it was fun.
It was good fun. Now that we've done it, it was great fun.
Lots of it was fun, but the morning after the night before was fairly punishing.
Yeah.
More
painful for some than for others.
So make sure you watch that
on Thursday.
Yeah.
Saturday, we've already kind of mentioned it, but Connor's been looking into whether Zone 2 is still going to be relevant in 2026. So that'll be out this weekend.
Indeed it will. Plus, it's a video that I think we've been mentioning now for the better part of a month.
Feels like about a year.
Yeah, are titanium bikes slow? All being well, that one will be out on Sunday, but I don't want to promise.
No.
I don't want to promise.
Well, let's keep it in the bank for the rest of this year.
That's it, yeah.
Next year.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Happy New Year. We hope that you have excellent celebrations and an even better 1st of January. Mm.
And if you do a ramp test to exhaustion on New Year's Day, let us know how you get on.
See you next year, guys.